It's time for What's Up with Steve Abel from the Green Party.
Yes, and on the line we do have Mr. Steve Abel. Mordena, Steve, are you there?
Mordena, Steve.
Mordena. I'm here. I'm good. How are you guys?
We're great. Thank you so much for coming onto the show and having a chat with us.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Thanks for having me.
No worries at all. I thought we'd start by talking about the Greens' alternative budget, which came out a few weeks ago. My first question I wanted to ask was that it's a very sort of ambitious budget. Would you say, how realistic would you say it is for it to be implemented at some point in the future, potentially?
Yeah, it's an interesting question there, because one of the lines that we hear is that, oh, it's not realistic, but our position is that digging up more oil, gas and coal, doing nothing about, you know, the massive impact that dairy farming has on our fresh water and on our climate, and letting the disparity between the wealthiest and the poorest get bigger and bigger is totally unrealistic. Mm. We need to do something different in this country, and that's what this budget does. It basically says, look, we can actually choose the way and the direction that our society goes and our economy goes by saying that we're going to invest and back in Central North Island, building of 35,000 homes, public homes, using New Zealand-grown pine forests instead of just exporting whole logs overseas, so we can have a future workforce agency that says we don't need a whole lot more, you know, geologists and miners. What we do need is a lot more electrical engineers if we're going to electrify our economy and our society to get up our dependency on fossil fuels. And it's about saying, let's think big about how we can actually, you know, run our society, for want of not referring to an old term of a previous national prime minister. But the point is that I think this is exactly where we're at. If we know we need to transition away from fossil fuels, we need to actually make a plan about how we do it, because this government is just rip, shit and bust on more mining, more drilling, and doing nothing about the biggest polluting sector in our country, which is the dairy industry.
Yeah, and when you looked at sort of this latest budget that the government put out this year, what were some of your main concerns that you might have had with this budget?
It's a real austerity budget. It's a budget that hammers the poorest, particularly targets Māori, undermines their tiriti o waitanga even further. This has been a government that's consistently, policy after policy, cut funding from Māori Health Authority, that's taken te tiriti o waitanga out of legislation, tried to nullify Tino Rangatiratanga through the Treaty Principles Bill, and is now putting the Regulatory Standards Bill through, which acts as a kind of a neoliberal cuckoo egg in every piece of legislation in the country. So it's a radically polarising budget, and it's one that doesn't actually deal with fundamental problems of poverty we have in this country and fundamental problems of inequality. And the most egregious kind of an obvious example of that was basically taking billions of dollars out of pay equity for women. And they somehow said, oh, we haven't cancelled pay equity. It's like, hang on a minute, you had billions of dollars in the budget for addressing pay equity, and the way that supposedly Brooke Van Velden saved the budget was by getting rid of that money. That was future salaries and wages for women explicitly. So there's no two ways about it. They took money from women.
And onto that sort of the pay equity part of that, them removing the pay equity for women, what do you think sort of sorry, my mind's blanking here slightly. We'll move on to the next question. Okay, let's move on to the $3 billion or doubling of the mining exports that Shane Jones wants to do over the next 10 years. Why is this, you know, this is kind of crazy to me that he would want to double it, considering its environmental impact. Do you think it's worth it, doubling it?
The thing is that it really doesn't stack up. You know, Hard rock gold mining produces vast volumes of the slurry of arsenic and cyanide, because they crush the rock to get the gold out of the rock. They have to, you know, mingle it with cyanide and there's various chemical processes they do it. But long after the jobs have dried up and the mining companies have repatriated all the profits back to Australia, those local communities are left with this in perpetuity slurry of arsenic and cyanide that has to be stored in tailings dams. And those communities have to look after it. If you go to Waihee in Coromandel, you can see this vast pockmark in the landscape. In fact, you can see it on Google Maps if you go to Waihee. That massive hole in the ground is the gold mine. But over to the right of that image is these vast black lakes, which are the tailings dams where the toxic slurry is stored forever. And so this is the legacy of gold mining. Coal mining, we know, drives climate change. We've got to stop digging coal and oil and gas out of the Earth's crust and burning it if we're going to have a livable planet. So we can't mine our way to a livable planet.
No.
And thirdly, what's the other kind of mining I don't have in my head now?
It's one of those mornings.
Seabed mining. Seabed mining is the other terrible thing they want to do.
Yeah.
So people don't necessarily understand this, but there is no commercial seabed mining anywhere in the world currently. It's a vanguard industry, and if we allow the Trans-Tasman Resources mining of the Taranaki seabed off Pātea, which is basically taking the top 11 metres of the seafloor, sucking out up in a massive dredge 50 million tonnes of sand and silt every year for 35 years, and then they dump back 45 million tonnes annually into the water column. And so ecologically catastrophic. For what? So they can extract some mineral potentially that a private company can make a profit from.
Mm.
It just went through every court in the land. It was opposed by EWI. It was opposed by the commercial fishing industry. It's opposed by, environment NGOs. And then the zombie project comes back on the drawing board through the fast-track process. So seabed mining is also so short-termist and really radically destructive of the environment. Those are not the way forward in 2025, when we know how bad extractive economy is for society, is for the environment, is for our climate.
Yeah, and
we're going to provide more jobs, like 40,000 jobs with our green budget.
Yeah.
The total number of jobs that they're going to get from their mining might be around 5,000 jobs.
What are the proposed alternatives
to that stuff that they want to do?
Yeah.
So the sort of big announcement we did in Tokoroa a couple of months ago with Tamitha Paul and Chloe Swarbrick was that we are going to back Central North Island timber industry, because we've got these pulp and paper mills kind of closing down under threat. And it's like, we need to actually have a state intervention to say we're going to support these industries, because these are renewable industries mm-hmm. that are based on a renewable product like forestry. We have to do our forestry better in a more sustainable way, let's be clear, like our pine forestry. But we do have this vast palm plantation resource. And you go to any port in this country and you will see whole pine logs being exported. Mm-hmm. We should be using that timber to increase the value of it by turning it into houses or into products that are exported as a higher value product, not just exporting whole logs. And the obvious thing is to have timber laminating processing facilities that we can build 35,000 new public houses. We can build 7-story buildings out of timber, not out of steel and concrete, in a way that's much more impactful for the climate. So that's the sort of opportunity that we can unlock if we put public money in the right places. And that's the commitment of the Green Budget, that we're planning kind of the way, the direction we go societally, so that we do get off our dependence on fossil fuels.
Mm. And the sort of recent sort of delving into the fast track projects that this latest government has sort of tried to kickstart, is there anything that you as the opposition can do to sort of stop these fast-track projects from happening? Or what weapons do you have in your arsenal to fight back against that?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So we, standing with communities across the country who are fighting these really bad mining projects, for example, or we were at a meeting just last night in Kirikiriroa, which is about the waste-to-energy things, which is basically burning waste, producing vast volumes of pollution And that is, there's an effort to get those things happening all over the country right now, but local communities have successfully fought and stopped them all over the place. So that's one of the other bad ideas that this government has. But standing with communities and making it really clear that certainly in terms of offshore oil and gas, we will revoke any licences issued under this government for offshore oil and gas, and we have committed to review and revoke the worst of the fast-track projects as well. We're in sort of exceptional times where there's been a massive override of democratic process, of environmental laws, of Te Tiriti o Waitangi. And to correct that egregious sort of imbalance that this government's brought, we need to be prepared to take sort of exceptional steps when there's a Green government, and we're prepared to do that.
Great. Thank you so much for your time this morning, Steve, and we'll catch you next time.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, cheers. Steve.
Bye.
Bye.
That was What's Up with Steve Abel from the Green Party.
All right, we're going to move on now to a bit of slow dive.
Bit of slow dive. This is Star Roving. I think this track is just